This is a HeadGum Original.
All the podcast experts said it couldn't be done. It shouldn't be done. Punching up a song that's in a language you do not speak. And they said it because they are smart. But we are not smart. We are noobs who can't say no. So when our guest, Joanna Hausman, asked us to drop an edit on Gasolina, Daddy Yankee's homage to either petroleum or fornication, we said, wee-wee.
Let's punch it.
It's Punch Up the Jam, and this week we're talking about Gasolina, this reggaeton mega hit from Daddy Yankee that I was convinced for several years was about road trips. But we're going to get to the bottom of it. We're going to discover that, in fact, this song may not be about driving down the highway and running out of fuel.
Or even literal gasoline. The one word I thought I understood in the song, Gasolina, might not be talking about gasoline. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew Gregory.
And I'm Evan Gregory.
And this week we are joined by the fantastic Joanna Hausman.
Joanna,
welcome. Oh,
thank you so much for having me. I've waited for years for this opportunity.
And it finally came. The opportunity to talk about Gasolina.
To talk about Gasolina in an honest and open environment.
Wow. And this, I mean, there was no stutter step, no hesitation when we asked you what song you wanted to talk about, what song you wanted to punch up. I mean, by the end of this episode, we're going to take Gasolina and we're going to irrefutably improve it, mm-hmm. make an entirely better version. Every person in the world would listen to our version and say, delete the original version from Spotify. Let's just listen to these guys. Mm-hmm. What made you say Gasolina with no hesitation?
Well, Gasolina came out in a time where I was in Latin America. I loved reggaeton, okay? I was really into reggaeton. And then when I came to the States, it was like the one song all Americans knew. It was a precursor to Despacito. This is like historically the first reggaeton song for like every American I've ever met. Mm-hmm. It is awful. Like, it is just objectively, from my objective point of view, a bad song.
Oh, so this is going to be an easy job for us to improve it. This is great.
I don't know. I mean, you know, part of the reason I really don't like it is because there's so many other better reggaeton songs that didn't make it and no one talks about and no American knows exists. But another part of it is I've heard it so many fucking times. And it's in every bar mitzvah. It's at every wedding when they find out there's like one Latino. It's like, it follows me everywhere I go.
You walked into the wedding and the DJ spotted you. The DJ scoped you out and said, well, Gasolina's going in the playlist.
Absolutely.
You're like the maid of honor coming in. Joanna Hausman!
Yes, and they'll put this song on. It's like if you guys went to a wedding in a culture that isn't your own, and then they were like, you know what song we're going to put? YMCA. That's what all white people need because it tells you how to dance to it, and it's like quintessential white people music.
Wow.
That's what, and YMCA is a good song, but it's at every wedding, right? And it's, mm-hmm. but this song,
it's extremely
white.
Just,
it isn't good enough to be the quintessential reggaeton song. It slaps, but it is bad. This song came out along with incredible, incredible songs like Rakata and Felina, Tu Cuerpo Es Tan Provocante, like so many incredible wonderful songs.
All good songs we could be listening to today, but you picked Gasolina instead.
Exactly. Like there's a song called Príncipe that is like a little bit more romantic and it's a little bit more produced. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Daddy Yankee he's the king of reggaeton. And this was sort of brought into the United States in large part because of Sony Music. Like the head of Sony Music was like, you know what? I think, why don't we just play this song on the radio and see how it goes?
What if we just tried this?
Yes, and it exploded, I think in large part because of the beat, but also Americans just don't know what it says, so it's able to get away with how bad the lyrics are.
He knew what he had on his hands. Mr. President of Sony Records, Steve Sony, knew what he had. He had the drug that the kids needed. And this is pop music we're talking about. You don't need a well produced thing to be the hit. Sometimes simpler is better. Brute force. We're just going to shout the word gasoline 40 times and it will stick.
That's what it feels. You know what? I feel like Daddy Yankee was just, he couldn't figure out what to put. Like, he had the beat and he was like, I don't know, man. I don't know what to make. What should we sing about? And then someone's like, all right, I'll be back. I got to put gasoline in my car. And he's like, fuck it. Let's just do that.
That's it. Writing session is over.
Yeah. Looked out the window of the studio right at a gas station. It's like, wait a minute. I am incredibly glad you picked a Daddy Yankee song. Mm-hmm. Because as you said, he is just like the king of reggaeton. If you're going to name one name in the world of reggaeton, it's, as far as I can tell, it's got to be Daddy Yankee. I mean, he named reggaeton. He came up with the name reggaeton in the 90s. And he's still now putting out the biggest reggaeton hits. It's as if Chuck Berry was still, like, charting the top of the charts in, like, the 1980s. If instead of Michael Jackson being the biggest star of the 1980s, you were like, oh, yeah, Chuck Berry, the guy who played Johnny B. Goode in 1962, like, here's another hit from 57-year-old Chuck Berry. The staying power of Daddy Yankee is insane.
Yeah, and he sort of like helps other reggaeton singers and stars sort of move forward in their career and collabs with them. And now, you know, we have J Balvin and we have Bad Bunny and we have sort of this new era of reggaeton that's like, it has a little bit of trap in it. I think it's a little bit more complex. Like, reggaeton in the past was basically all about having sex. That was it. That's what it was. It's
well,
about
that's,
having
that's
sex.
That's way like, different from pop music. That's completely different.
But now at least it's subtle in the way it's telling us it's about sex. Like before it was like, there's a song called Rakata, and that is an onomatopoeia about having, it's just the sound that you make when you are performing, you know,
sure,
making love
yeah,
loudly
when,
and
when
intensely.
When you are loudly like, having intercourse,
and you start screaming,
I always go, Rakata, Rakata.
And there's like a song called Noche de Sexo, Night of Sex. It's not pretending. Now it's a little bit more flowery, a little bit more poetic. It's so like, you, say, you know, some metaphors. So gasolina is a metaphor. It's a visual metaphor. It isn't about gasoline.
What?
It isn't. I know. Can you believe?
I'm shook.
So do you see this as being back from the era of reggaeton songs about sex? Or do you see this as being like a bridge between the sex reggaeton pre-gasolina and afterwards, like we're moving into the land of metaphor? But you just find it too crude a metaphor?
I think it's too simple a metaphor. I here's the problem with it. It's a metaphor. People singing it don't realize it's a metaphor.
What?
Because so many Americans were just saying, like, do you think the fossil fuel industry made this song?
Oh,
like,
especially
no.
Me. I'm out on the dance floor pantomiming a steering
and
wheel.
I wouldn't put it, I would not put it past the fossil fuel industry to write this song just to drum up gasoline sales. Frankly,
honestly,
I recall an incident in which Daddy Yankee was being interviewed by, I'm probably out on a limb on this, but I really think it was John McCain, God rest his soul, and about like, oh, Daddy Yankee is an ambassador for Latin culture in the Southwest or something like that. Oh, I love your song, Gasolina, says like old out of touch person. And Daddy Yankee was like, yes, it's about energy independence. Just like, just blatantly making, like he's making a joke on mic, but nobody else knows that he's making a joke and making fools out of them, right?
Exactly.
There was a weird unholy alliance between Daddy Yankee and John McCain. I don't understand why, but Daddy Yankee did endorse John McCain in the 2008 election.
Is this real?
This is real. Daddy Yankee was a McCain guy. He was he was just like touring with John McCain, trying to get the Latin vote out for McCain. God bless his soul. Good luck in 2008. Barack Obama's first run as president.
Oh, just steamrolled him. Wow, Daddy Yankee star really fell.
Joanna, just what's the short version? What is this metaphor that you despise so that we're going to be listening to?
Dame más gasolina.
This song is basically, when you put gas in your car.
Okay.
I've done it many times, yeah.
What is it called? Like the gun? What is that thing called? The funnel?
Pump.
The pump.
Well, the handle. The handle.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't
think
know.
The pump.
What do you call that thing?
I like the word pump more for what we're going for. So when you grab the pump and you look at the pump, it looks perhaps like something on a male body. And then that pump goes into a car and
nozzle.
Then injects.
How about the nozzle?
The nozzle. The nozzle goes into the car and gives the car gas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is energy. So basically, what I, an English major, take from this is that this is a metaphor about a man.
Mm-hmm. The male gas pump.
Putting his nozzle in a woman and giving her energy through a liquid.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm following the metaphor here. My first problem with the metaphor is just that if you have to compare gasoline to a male bodily fluid,
mm-hmm.
the first fluid that comes to mind for me is urine.
Oh, God.
And it's just like,
no,
for me, it's really like as if it was written by a 12-year-old child who's just like, where do babies come from? Like, does the man pee-pee and the girl?
Yeah, also, like, it's like the liquid gives her energy. It's like it's usually over when that substance is present. Therefore, mm-hmm. this song just doesn't respect the sort of nuance and details of a regular sexual act.
Welcome back to Punch Up the Jam, your favorite podcast for sex education and anatomy.
So let's spin up the song and just continue to be our guide, Joanna, about the nuances of this metaphor in a song that I thought was about energy independence.
Okay.
I love a chorus of men screaming, oh, that flies in any language. You know?
So this, he's saying right now, throw some mambo on them so the cats turn on their motors.
Throw some mambo. Sorry, I'm going to pause that. It says zumbale mambo, right?
Like,
I assume they're talking about Zumba music. Okay, throw some mambo on them.
So that my cats turn on their motors.
Sure, the cats clearly. That metaphor hasn't fallen far from the English.
That I feel like I'm at a race. I feel like I'm at a car race. Yeah. I do like this part of the song.
For me, the beep, 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 where that you're playing like a little ninja or something that mm-hmm. is like looks like he's in fast motion, and it makes me want to like skitter out to the dance floor like I'm pretending to be going like on fast playback.
It is truly like it is the call for people to come to the dance floor, and it and it does it well. It does, and it's preparing you for the song.
So he's telling the DJ to put the mambo on so the cats get on the floor.
Yeah, cats, female cats, got that. Yes, so the female cats come on the floor.
Ladies. Okay. Okay, and now we got the beat in. The mambo is dropped. We got that reggaeton.
Yes. So, like, now we're in the throes of it. So they say duro, which means hard.
Right.
Four times. So they're like hard, 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 hard. Okay.
I always heard that like we go hard, you know, like, yeah, we just drop this hard beat. But it certainly could be something else having to do with your nozzle, sure.
And it's also like he's talking to one woman, right? He's like, mamita, like little mommy, because little mommy means like hottie. So sure. Little mommy, I know, yo sé que tú no te me va a quitar. I know that you're not going to like leave me.
Yeah, you're not going
to
quit.
I know that you go with the flow. And now he's changed who he's singing to. So now he's no longer singing to mamita. Now he's singing to everyone and now about her. So now he's saying every weekend she likes to go party and she doesn't want to hang out because she likes that. And then we get into the chorus. So what does she like? And then the chorus enters.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows. I do love this aspect. Like, it goes from the second person to the third. Like, he's literally talking to his girlfriend. Like, yes. I know you won't quit. You like to go with the flow. And then, like, you can sort of imagine his face whipping to camera and be like, she loves to go out. She, like, really goes to the club. It's a lot of fun. She dances a lot, guys.
For me, it's almost like he's talking to her like, there's no way you would ever leave me. And then she just walks away. And he's like, I'm just going to keep talking to this group of people around me. It's like, she's like, all right, whatever, Daddy Yankee.
He keeps going, you know?
Okay, so here it is. The chorus drops.
One thing I will appreciate is that this seems to be consensual. Because he says she likes gasoline and she says, give me the gasoline.
She has confirmed.
Already consented. I do appreciate this about the song.
She does not desire energy independence. She needs energy.
She wants to continue being a part of global warming by, you know, using gasoline a lot.
We can all celebrate a mutual bilateral consented donation of gasoline.
Exactly. So he's saying she loves gasoline. She's saying, give me more gasoline. And then he just says how much she likes gasoline. She just says, give me more gasoline. Then he says she likes gasoline. She says, give me more gasoline. And mm-hmm. then he says how much she likes gasoline. She says, give me more gasoline. That is the chorus.
Yeah, that is the chorus.
I mean, the simplicity is why this thing can break through, because I'm on the dance floor imagining that we just are going on a road trip, and yet anyone that speaks Spanish and understands it like idiomatically is like, sperm, 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 sperm.
Yes, that's how I read it. It's like, unless a Hummer is singing this, that's yeah. what I think of.
I think, frankly, I had always assumed that the metaphor here with the gasoline was more about like adding energy and fire to a party, you know?
Mm.
Like,
oh,
you're on the dance party, and like, as we've discussed, someone who doesn't speak Spanish, dame más gasolina, even I understand that. Like, oh yeah, we're out here on the dance floor. Let's add some fire to the dance party.
But you know, I do think that there's multiple.
Not what Daddy Yankee was talking about.
There's many levels of this song.
It works on both levels.
I do think that there's multiple ways of interpreting this song. It's deep in that way.
Yeah.
I think one way
its shallowness is deep. Yeah.
But I do think it's like Dante's Inferno. You know, it's like, what do you take from it? And mm-hmm. I do think that
what level of sinning do you want to get to?
Yeah, one interpretation is definitely like fire. Let's like bring fire to the dance floor. Let's party. You know? I do believe that too.
Yeah, that's why it's so great that Daddy Yankee or anyone else involved in the song has an easy out. Anytime a grown-up is asking them about this song, it's about like, well, she loves fuel. She loves to party. And boy, she needs to fuel up before she gets out there on the dance floor, right? Give us more fuel for the dance floor. And then literally he's like doing that same face whip to the camera, but his audience now is like the teens, and it's like, well, actually, it's just about sex where we love sperm. That's
we're putting the nozzle into the gas tank.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting the nozzle into the gas tank. Woman is the car.
Also, like, I'm just going to say, like, another reason this is a terrible metaphor is like the shape of a gas nozzle is not the shape you want to be thinking of during sex.
You're right.
You know, it's a gas nozzle. It's very droopy.
A gas nozzle is like the precursor to where this song should be played. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it could be the like a electrical outlet, and you know, that might mm-hmm. be more clear.
Anything that's straight.
But you know, yeah, electricity. Like, maybe this song should be about electricity also, because electricity isn't as, you know, like problematic. There's no like electricity spills in the ocean, killing, you know, sea otters.
Yeah. Let's get to some real energy independence, you know?
Yes. Like, I want one about, like, wind energy.
I see where you're going, okay, we're going to solve climate change by punching up this song, but we are retaining the essential character of sticking something in a hole.
Yes.
You're saying what is the most important thing about this song is that we took something hard and we stuck it in a hole.
Yeah, we stuck it in a hole to turn on this object called a woman.
To turn them on.
Yeah. Now you're just starting to sound like the Bride of Frankenstein. Okay, it's still the same. This is still the same as it was before.
There we go. This is for the Ashleys in the audience and in the bar mitzvah to sing along.
Mm-hmm.
A basic Brad.
So,
did I hear turbinas?
So she's like, he's saying, she's turned on the turbines.
Well, that mm-hmm. we can use in the wind energy song.
Yes,
that we can
exactly.
just carry right over. That we keep.
But I, you know, I'm confused about turbines because cars don't have turbines.
Honestly, if Daddy Yankee says they do, they probably
I'll
do.
It. He probably knows
what's up with cars.
Yeah,
right?
If we're talking about Latin street racing culture, I know nothing about it. And I would buy 100% that somebody has put a jet turbine on their car for sure. But also, you know, you can't put it past the extreme artistry and wordsmithsmanship of Daddy Yankee to just upgrade the vehicle in this metaphor. She got so much sperm in her, she turned from a car into an airplane.
Now, something I will say, though, is Daddy Yankee a reliable narrator? And this was an issue, you know, does the car really have turbines? I'm not sure. One thing I ran into, we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, Joanna, is like podcasters do, we were all, you know, reading the Wikipedia articles about Daddy Yankee, reading the Wikipedia articles about Gasolina.
Deep research.
Like the deep research, but just truly a testament to how white Wikipedia is. That Gasoline is just an enormous hit and just has like this tiny little Wikipedia stub. It's like 2 minutes after a Star Wars movie comes out. Like there's like a 10,000 word essay about the plot of like the sequel to Han Solo.
And the travails of the production crew.
This is a bunch of white people named Brad writing these articles. And one fact that kept coming up in this Wikipedia article, in all the Wikipedia articles about Daddy Yankee, is the fact that he was about to play for the Seattle Mariners before he was shot by a stray bullet from an AK-47. Keep him, you know, this is stray. He'd done nothing wrong. But all the sourcing, all of the firsthand sources, I'm putting big scare quotes around firsthand sources, are just interviews with Daddy Yankee. It's just Daddy Yankee being like, I was going to play for the Seattle Mariners before I was shot. And she's like, does that count as a firsthand source? Was Daddy Yankee really going to play for the Seattle Mariners?
According to him, he was. And who could say otherwise?
What? Oh my God. I'm just embarrassed that I don't know this.
Are you Googling this while we're talking, I hope?
He was shot in the leg with an AK-47.
But was he?
But was he?
Did I need to talk to someone on the Seattle Mariners.
Let's just take him at his word. Does Daddy Yankee ever lie?
Hey, he says the car has turbines. That's what I'm screaming. I don't think he's a reliable narrator.
I don't know if he's reliable, particularly in the song. Because we do. Here's something that I will say is sort of, it's changing and stuff. But, you know, a lot of reggaeton is men singing about women. And the only times women come out are like in this chorus, which is just them saying, give me what you just said I wanted.
Yes. Hello, I'm a woman showing up in this song for the first time. And the main thing I am saying is, I want sex, please.
And it's always like a chorus of women. It's not like one. It's like a chorus of women, because when he says she likes it, he means like all of these women. Yeah, every woman.
Daddy Yankee has his choice.
Yes. He's a Daddy Yankee.
Wow. Ew.
So here it's like, okay, turbines, right? And then he says, no se pierde ni un party de marquesina, which is, this is like Puerto Rican stuff. Marquesina, I thought, was an awning. So what I think this means is she doesn't even like miss out on a party in an awning.
Isn't
she
like,
so lit?
Are you saying the word for party here is party?
This is Puerto Rican.
Yes.
So
okay.
PR, you know, as Daddy Yankee's name sort of represents, Daddy Yankee, Puerto Rico is the like emblem of Spanglish. It is, you know, it is part of the United States. It is in a state. It's very, very, very proud of its culture. It is a country, but it isn't a country. It's like this weird mix between
limbo.
The U.S. and Latin America.
They're in country limbo.
You turn on the Olympics and Puerto Rico has a volleyball team that's playing the United States, and it's just always confusing to me.
And you're like, what the heck is going on?
It's like, what is happening here? Daddy Yankee, his name is Yankee. I mean, his name is like sort of a play on words of America, Americana.
Yeah, I'm
so of course
daddy
he's going to have
Yankee
words
Doodle.
Like party.
Yeah,
in his song, you know.
So I'm glad we paused here, because now I don't think I would have noticed this line, but I'm enjoying unpacking it, because really what you're saying is that like she loves partying so much that she would go to a tiny ass party that's just under somebody's awning. Just like a front porch party, just like we're in front of the bodega playing dominoes. Like she does not miss that. She will go to literally any party.
Yes. That's what this part says to me. Yeah. Man, hey, sounds... I'm not Puerto Rican. I'm sure like if a Puerto Rican was here, they'd say like, oh, Marquesina is a very small little town, like 3 hours away from San Juan that only serves soup. I don't know. They have like, you know, every country has a weird place like magical realism place. It might be that, but from what I see, it's an awning and she just parties anywhere.
So, I mean, this
for me,
like,
that place is Rhode Island. I don't think it exists.
If she's going to every party, if she's this, you know, desperate for parties, I mean, seems less like it's about energy independence, more like energy codependence. Mm-hmm. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This what, is about energy codependence.
Can you help me? What is going on at the end of this stanza where it's like, que hasta la sombra le combina? Is that shadow?
Okay. Yes. Luce también que hasta la sombra le combina, which is she looks so good that even the shadow goes with her outfit.
Okay. So it's not that the shadow is having sex with her. It's just that the shadow matches and she's extremely fashionable.
She's very fashionable. And then he says, murderer, she dominates me.
She's a killer.
Wow. Asesina me domina, which I say feminist.
You take back everything you said about this song being a misogynist anthem. Maybe Daddy Yankee knows what's up.
Maybe he was like, you know what? I want to give her a little bit of autonomy. She dominates me. Even though I'm dominating this song, she dominates me. And then he goes, hanguean carros, motoras y limusinas. She hangs around cars. She hangs around motorcycles. She hangs around limousines. She fills up her tank with adrenaline when she listens to reggaeton on the loudspeakers. So this is, you know, even though it is a sexual innuendo, I think that this sort of stanza, what it is saying, it's presenting reggaeton to us, the audience. It's saying reggaeton is the gasoline for parties because when she listens to reggaeton, she can't stop.
Daddy Yankee just taking on the mantle of reggaeton ambassador and saying, hello, global audiences worldwide. May I present to you reggaeton? A type of music that will make you dance hard.
Exactly. And he's saying, like, this woman is hanging around cars so much because she loves, like, she could even have a party in an awning. She could have a party in a limo. She could have a party in a parking lot. Why? Because the moment the cars start playing reggaeton, that's a party for her. She doesn't need anything else. She just needs the music.
But, like, the crazy thing about Daddy Yankee and reggaeton is, like, he's out here in Gasolina saying, like, check out this music. A lot of adrenaline for your tank. And then, like, 10 years later, you put on a Justin Bieber album. It's just got a reggaeton beat, you know? Three years later, you know, Despacito, you know, biggest song in the world. It's like
it is.
Daddy Yankee, perhaps he wasn't a baseball player, but in this case, he did call his shot. You know,
he knocked it out of the park in this one.
Wow.
Thank you. But, you know, I think this in-depth view of it, because reggaeton is such a dirty, like was such a like dirty sexual genre. You know, perhaps I judged this song too quickly because as I'm sort of parsing through some of these stanzas, yes, Gasolina is a sexual, like there's a sexual innuendo there, but this is also sort of the call to arms for reggaeton. This is like Gasolina is reggaeton at a party, which is true because when you're at a party and it's not lit and you put on a reggaeton song.
The party is but a smoldering ember. And you apply the gasoline of reggaeton, and then your party fire is lit.
Exactly.
That's what I just heard.
Precisely. Precisely. So, you know, could I do without some of the sexual innuendo part? Yes. But do I like the metaphor of the, like, it's sort of postmodern. It's referencing the genre itself in the song.
So first level metaphor, the energy of reggaeton will innervate your party. You're in.
That's baby level. First level.
Second level metaphor, very sophisticated, hard to see. I'm putting my nozzle in your gas tank. You're out.
Yes. There's a duality there. There's many layers and it's deep. Yeah.
You don't want to mix the metaphors, quite frankly. You don't want to go to a party that's not lit and apply sperm. You
Precisely.
Get bad results.
And there's probably a third level we're not even, there's probably a third level we're not hearing.
There's probably, I think we'll get there. I think we'll get there. We're going to get to the third level. She dominates me.
Yeah, she murdered me. This woman can only achieve agency through homicide.
Okay, this is the reggaeton part. She wants to hear the reggaeton in the loudspeakers you were talking about.
Oh, yeah. She likes, so now it's like she likes reggaeton is sort of what he established now.
So maybe we switched up the levels. Maybe the sex is the first level, liking reggaeton. That's the second level.
He grabs you with the sex, and he makes you stay with his music.
Yeah.
Okay. This part is confusing to me. Because I'm not sure what he's talking about anymore. Okay? He says, here, we're the best.
Okay.
Don't, okay. I don't know what ajore means. I think it's like, don't fuck around with me. Like, we're the best here, okay? And on the dance floor, they call us the killers, not the band.
Just like
Los Matadores. You make so that anyone falls in love when you dance to the rhythm of the drums. So I'm confused because here it's like, who is the best? Is it reggaeton singers?
Yeah.
Is it the dancers? Is he singing or dancing?
I think what he's saying is, yes, we're here, we're dancing, and now he's brought in this hunting sort of metaphor into it. So we're the killers, right?
I think the killing became hunting. We're the champion killers. The music is allowing us to slay anyone. But this is just another sexual innuendo. Like, to slay people means you've conquered them.
We got to the third level, guys.
We got to the third level.
Exactly. Colonialism. So
you laugh so hard at colonialism that your headphones fell off. For those who are more foxes, so, that's zorras.
So here is... So, like, the first part is like, kind of general. He's saying they call us the killers here. But then he goes, this song is for cats of every color. The older ones and the younger ones. Cats meaning women. Not sure. Like, those are my cats,
I'm with. That one did not elude me.
Okay. Again, just out here, a salesman for reggaeton. Just saying, like, hey, you might think this is Puerto Rican music. But, hey, you Dominicans, you white people. This is for cats of any color. Check out this. You know that new sound you've been looking for? Well, listen to this.
This feels like a pyramid scheme, you know? Like, this is Herbalife, but in music. It's convincing you to be a part of the team, okay? And then
please join me on Facebook Messenger, and I want to tell you about Rodan and Fields and reggaeton.
And gasolina, yeah.
Yeah.
So this line, I think, is complex, because he says, for the women that are more zorras is it could be translated directly as foxy, but it actually means slutty. So what he's saying is, for those women that are sluttier than the hunters meaning men. So
I see.
So I don't know if this is feminist or not.
I think
these are for the women
sluttier
than men, and it's okay. We accept you. This music's for you. Or if this is just really complicated and misogynistic, because then the next line is for the women that don't turn off their motors.
But still, just extraordinary to me that Daddy Yankee is saying, like, "Hey, I made up a new music. It has this one beat describing my Ponzi scheme. You turn on the radio in 2015." And you hear the whitest song in the world. And this is what it sounds like. You gotta go and get angry. The first time I heard it on the radio, I was like, reggaeton did it. Reggaeton won.
Every
song has this beat now. It used to be every reggaeton song had this beat. But now just even Bieber.
This genre has gone full Bieber.
You're right. A Canadian.
Canadian is singing
the whitest pop star who used to have the whitest haircut of the world.
The floppiest hair.
You can't go more North American.
This is just Canadian reggaeton.
Yeah. Daddy Yankee aimed for America and missed and went straight to Ontario.
Wow.
But isn't that incredible that, like, he sold us the beat.
Yeah. We bought it. And then Despacito, shortly after that, also with an assist from Bieber, became like the most viewed YouTube video of all time. Massive global hit.
I thought the song was about energy, about arson. Didn't realize it was sexist. Next thing I knew, I was spinning up Justin Bieber.
It's an undeniably catchy beat. And what I do appreciate about this song is that that's what Daddy Yankee's saying. He's saying, this is an undeniable beat. This is an undeniable genre that will make you partay.
And I've sat here looking askance at the lyrics and thinking about how crude to imagine my nozzle pumping gas into some unsuspecting limousine who only exists to serve as a receptacle for my petroleum, and yet while I'm analyzing it, then I look down and my hips were moving. They practically wanted to leave my body and go to the dance floor by themselves. It cannot be helped. It cannot be denied what's happening with this
Your
rhythm.
Hips don't lie, as Shakira said. Who Shakira actually was the Alanis Morissette of Latin American music. And reggaeton caught up to her and got her. And now she sings reggaeton and her hips didn't lie.
It ensnared her. It got her hips first.
Now, yes. Where we stopped the track, Evan, there was a little bit of like almost like radio theater happening. If you skip the track back,
okay,
a second,
yep, sorry.
I want to hear, there's like, because we've been in like full reggaeton beat ever since. There's the little mambo bit at the beginning about mambo getting everyone to the dance floor, and then the beat is in for the whole song. It had just cut out for the first time.
Okay, let me pull it back here.
The engine's
ready. Oh.
And that's right after the line about the ladies turning off their engines, right?
Wow, look at this radio play here. You're right.
So the ladies turn off their engines, they get a little more gasoline, the engines rev, and we're back into the beat.
So this is like, it is like on, right? What I do appreciate about this song that I hope you guys keep is that it escalates. At this point, you're in the car. The car is on. Like, we're all
on. Oh, it's on.
We're on.
Yeah,
but maybe the lyrics need a little help because it doesn't make sense. Because he's saying, me and you have something we need to figure out. Like, we have something pendiente. We have something we need to figure out. Mm-hmm. You owe me something and you know it. With her, she gets lost. And she doesn't owe anyone anything. So wait, she owes him something. But doesn't owe anyone and never owes anyone else anything? Also, owing him, what does he owe him?
I don't know. This isn't all adding up to me. This is starting to sound like our PPP loan all of a sudden, you know? Do I owe someone something or do I not owe someone something?
He put the sound of a car starting and people were like, holy fuck! Oh, man!
Yes.
And they're not even listening to what he's saying anymore.
I have to say that to me, the car sound is just literally... Nothing has changed about this song. We've been listening to this for 2 minutes, and we heard Gasolina already upwards of 68 times. And if we just repeat it, people will be so bored. So what can we do? We cut it out, and then you play the car revving sound, and you just go back to an intro, and you try to recapture some of that magical moment when the song first came on. I'll just play the intro again. People will be tricked, and they think the song just came on for the first time. And they get hyped again.
Yes. It almost feels like there's a live DJ.
Yes, just cutting back in, interrupting the song to start the song again.
Yes.
It's an amazing way to give a song that almost only has one drum beat a little breath of fresh air. breath of fresh air just to be like, you know, the audience is getting like a 3 second break from this ever present beat.
It's like I'm on the dance floor and I would forget that I'm dancing to this song, and then it's just like this thing happens in the middle where it interrupts itself, and I would be like, oh yeah, I love this song.
And from here on out, are we just wall-to-wall chorus?
Let's see.
Is that it?
Yes. So we're back at the beginning. Duro. Mm.
Duro.
Same thing.
Which feels a little bit like they got one, like we're a minute and 45 seconds into the song. Feels like they finished writing it and they were just like, we can't turn into a song that's a minute and 45. Like, we'll just go back to the top.
You know, I'm thinking these guys back here shouting Duro, it may be a case of like, you know, thou dost protest too much. Like, they got a little insecure about like, what are you talking about? My nozzle's pointing down a little bit. It's Duro. doodle. Yeah, quit talking to me about the shape of my nozzle. It's hard. I just speculating.
Yeah. That might be it. It might be just insecurity. Like, they're riddled with insecurity. Yeah, man. Like, I'm hard, you know, hard. I'm hard, I promise. Like,
also, that just whole last 20 seconds of the song, they just did not even copy and paste the Dame La Gasolina over. They were just like, we'll just finish it on an instrumental.
Well, I just feel like Daddy Yankee is like, I'm going to serve you the sickest beat of all time. So, like, who cares what I say and what happens with it? I know you're going to like it. I just need to put, like, if you look at Despacito, it's similar. There's one word that anyone can say on the dance floor. It is kind of like YMCA in that, like, it is a song made for the dance floor. It isn't a song that's made for your headphones. It is a song that's made to be danced, like, with people.
And the simplicity is what makes it universal, that anyone will flock to the center of the dance floor. I don't care what color of cat you are.
Mm-hmm.
The grown ones and the young ones, the old ladies and the teens will all hit the floor when this thing comes on.
It is. I don't know. It is. It is just a shock to me that it finishes on that, you know, kind of it
goes out with
that
a whimper.
That flaccid nozzle instrumental. You know, mm-hmm. you don't get in one more Gasolina at the end.
You know, you get your tank got full, and then the nozzle always turns off automatically. You know, to prevent like backsplash, and then you always try to squeeze out a couple extra drips. Boopity boop 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 boop.
Yeah,
there at the end for some reason. Why do you feel obligated to do that? I don't know, but you do. Just that extra little, the final squeeze. That's the instrumental going out. We filled the tank with sperm petroleum, and you just gotta top it off. Boopity boop boop boop.
A little more instrumental.
I also feel like it's made so that you can just, if the DJ's there, he can just play the beginning again. And so you don't know when the end of the song is, because it starts how it ends.
Yeah.
So you know that poster where it's like a bunch of stairs, like in a square?
Yeah, the MC Escher. MC Escher.
The MC Escher painting of the optical illusion, stairs going around?
This is a song optical illusion that can go on forever. You can loop it forever. You're not waiting for
anything
else.
He would just hit play on the song again, and I would be like, ha-ha, I love this song! Back out on mm-hmm. the floor.
That's why the engine noise is even there. It's because the DJ knows, I heard the engine noise, I just, on my second turntable, dropped the needle at the beginning of the song. And I just, the reason there's no end to this song
so true.
Is because Daddy Yankee's hoping the DJ never ends it.
It's oh my just God.
Starting again every 1 minute and 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
How long is the song?
I have 3:13.
3:13.
It's a relatively
where's the,
short
where's
song.
The engine?
Yeah,
the
what if it was just 15 seconds? What if we could cut it down to just, would that be a punch up if I cut it down to 15
and
seconds?
Once you get to the engine, well, where's the engine, Evan? Like 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes?
Yeah.
It's all a repeat. It's just the beginning and the chorus.
Yeah,
again.
About halfway through,
so it's like,
the engine drops and gives you a nice tight cut point.
Basically, like the DJ puts on the song, he runs over to the bar, he gets a rum and coke, he cuts the line because he's the DJ. And his goal is to be back at his turntables by the time he hears the engine rev so he can drop the needle at the beginning of the song. His party never stops.
Like, exactly. Exactly. It is a song made for live performance. Live, you know, it's made for the DJ. It's made for the people at the bar mitzvah. It's made for that, for the moment. I think, you know, as you guys are looking at this very complex and difficult project, you know, there's mm-hmm, so many mm-hmm. ways to improve this, right?
So many levels, yeah.
You
a
have
lot of weaknesses
the angle
here that we need to look
like,
at.
It's so many angles. Like, just shortening it would make it better. Because, mm-hmm. like, we are in an era where short songs can hit. You don't need to get that 3 minute, you know, minimum.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. We chop off 3 minutes, we're down to 13 seconds. What could be better?
That's great, because we have to learn less Spanish that way.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And, like, if you remove the gasoline element to it, you remove the sexual innuendo of the pump. And if you make it some type of like energy that isn't a fossil fuel, it's also green. So maybe this song, it should be a green song about energy. Plus, like, reggaeton is like a wonderful form of energy. It doesn't deplete any resources other than like people with good taste of music. Like it isn't doing harm to the environment. Yeah. And I think that reggaeton, as my favorite genre, deserves to be rebranded as not gasoline, but something mm-hmm. good.
You know what the real renewable resource is? Love.
That's beautiful.
I was going to say hips on the dance floor when gasoline is on. Okay, so I think we have a tall task in front of us, but I think we're set up to punch up this jam. We're going to make a version of this that's irrefutably better. Joanna, it may only be 13 seconds long. We may not record it just to be fully energy independent. We're going to record it. Don't worry, because we have to play it for you. We'll call you back. It
but
could
be
a couple hours.
It'll be on wax cylinder.
Could be a couple weeks. We're going to play you the punch up, and trust us, you're going to love it.
You know, I don't know if I can trust two white guys to make reggaeton better, but I will enjoy the outcome regardless of what comes back.
Well, we promise we won't change the beat.
That's the best
beat's
disclaimer I could have asked for.
Beat's got to stay.
Let's punch it.
Punch it!
You know, working on this episode has really got me flashing back to my experience in high school Spanish. And thinking about high school makes me think about waking up early and eating breakfast when our parents wouldn't let us eat sugary cereals. They were only into the cardboard tasting healthy stuff.
Oh, when I think about your high school Spanish class, I think about your teacher's Spanish accent.
Chicos! Chicos, siéntate, escuchen, por favor. You know, years later, now I'm in the position of being a dad, and I kind of get it. I don't want my kids to eat sugary cereals
but
either.
But what if there was a middle path, Evan? What if there was a healthy cereal that also tasted like it was sugary, even though it wasn't? That's right. It's here, and it's called Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net gram carbs in each serving. There's only 140 calories a serving, and it's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low.
I recommend picking up the variety pack. Cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter flavors come, and you can just get devilish with the combos from there. By which I mean, I've been mixing all 4 flavors together at home, and the scrumptiousness is nothing less than unholy. Go to magicspoon.com/jam to grab one of those variety packs and try it today. You can use our promo code JAM at checkout to save $5 off your order.
And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed by a 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/jam and use the code JAM to save $5 off.
Gracias, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode.
Let's punch it.
Punch it!
Okay, welcome back. We've done it. We've punched up this song. We've made it indisputably better, as we do every single time. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what we did here before we play back and get your reaction. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we've done here is take the message of the song and make it exactly opposite. I think what we talked about here is...
But also better.
Well,
did we mention better? The song's better?
Yes. Well, yeah, because... Almost every component of the message of the song was bad, so we flipped it. Basically, the two ideas we want to get across in this new version is, instead of more gasoline, literally less gasoline. That's what we want, is no gasoline or less where applicable. And also, we're not into sticking gas nozzles, shall we say, where they don't belong. We are into consent. We're into vulnerability.
Sticking gas nozzles into where they do belong.
Yes. And where both parties have agreed that this is a level of intimacy that they're comfortable with.
Right. Maybe the gas nozzle isn't going into something. Maybe the gas tank is going onto the gas nozzle.
Oh, I love this. Okay. So you have the two very important messages this song.
And I think one other thing I'll mention is it's been a little longer than we hoped between when we first recorded and when we're re-recording, playing the sponge for you, Joanna. It's maybe been, I don't know, maybe 4 weeks. And I would say that Evan and I were frankly paralyzed for several weeks because we were so dedicated for those several weeks to the idea of recording this in Spanish, writing and recording in Spanish. And as previously mentioned on this episode, we do not speak Spanish. And after 2 or 3 weeks of total paralyzation, we realized that that was a terrible idea, because not only do we not write, read, speak, or sing in Spanish, but also the rest of this podcast is in Spanish. Our very listeners wouldn't be able to understand the fresh rhymes we would be spitting. I'm also just gonna mention, hey, song's mostly not in Spanish.
But with that,
all right, I can,
and that's okay.
There do be some Spanish words,
this,
though.
If you guys promise to, in some future life, you write me a song in Spanish.
I snuck in some tidbits. I snuck in. Andrew wrote the first draft here, and then I got a few surprises in here that he hasn't heard yet either. I snuck in a couple of Spanish rhymes that I pulled straight from my high school Spanish class.
I don't want to raise the specter of Adam Sandler and Taya Leone, but dare I say that the song might be in
Spanglish?
Wow. Whoa. Okay. 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 I'm fluent in Spanglish, so I can get behind this.
And since we've never tried this before, namely make a song that has very fast English and Spanish, we're going to put the lyrics in the show notes for all the listeners to follow along. Okay, without further ado, we're calling this Gasolina Green Energia.
Okay, we use it too much like gasolina. Como vamos la gasolina. Demasiado la gasolina.
Literally just give us less.
Como vamos la gasolina. Ella prende las turbinas. No discrimina. The dream and power over other green energía. Nuclear, solar, geothermia. She got me guessing all the way, she keeps it green up. Knock, knock, who's there? It's a subpoena. Tu nube negra de misiones es un crimen. Gira, gira, manivela mía. Consentimiento mutuo es mi fetiche. Use it too much like gasolina. Como amamos la gasolina. Demasiado la gasolina. Charging Puerto, I gently ask her if her puerto is abierto. To equity and intimacy descubierto. Y reggaeton is the rhythm of our concierto. She got a motor built on perpetual motion. Don't need petroleum to give me an explosion. In a relationship where we can share emotion. Saving gas by having sex on the level of the ocean. No shore erosion, glaciers stay frozen.
Your electric vehicle is now starting up. This trip will be sourced from renewable energy only, including pelvic gyrations, mutual respect between romantic partners, and the harvested larynxes of reggaeton hype men.
Oh my God. I wish if this existed during my entire teenage decade, because I absolutely would have sung the shit out of this song at every bar and bat mitzvah I went to. Just, I can get behind it because there's just the two messages that you guys are transmitting in this while having this lit ass reggaeton beat is exactly what I seek for, you know?
You couldn't have paid us a better compliment than say you want to sing this at a bar mitzvah.
You know, I would love this song to be playing outside of some type of, you know, where all the heads of state meet in Geneva or whatever, or in Rome. I don't know where they're meeting these days, but I love to just blast this as they're making decisions about our environment, you know, and then also blast it in every middle school because it talks about consent. So it's a win-win, you know, for the people that you have to convince about green energy, it works. And the people that you have to teach consent, it works. It's pretty, remarkable. Mm. I gotta say, we should call Daddy Yankee and just let him know that he should re-record with these lyrics so that, you know, the world is better.
We'll just...
Wow.
We'll just let him know.
Yeah.
Just let's let him know, you know? I'll call him up.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know his number, but I'll find it just because of the passion I have for this song.
Yes, my first time rapping reggaeton. I'm feeling a little self-conscious about it. I'd rather have him do it.
What was the most difficult line to write? Also, there's a siren and it sounds like a reggaeton siren, but it's a real siren right outside my window.
Yeah, that's not me just playing that on the soundboard.
For me, I would say that one of the, you know, as we had our revelation that maybe it was not a good idea to try to write an entire fast rap in a language we don't speak, there was a long time where we were trying to come up with energía verde. Right? Green. Because we were like green energy, but we were like, once we moved into the Spanglish zone, we were like, well, then you can break a lot of grammatical rules.
Or you can just pick and choose.
In English, of course, it's green energy. In Spanish, you'd be saying energy green.
But once you're in the Spanglish zone, you can break all those rules and just put energía at the end of the line and rhyme with it. And that for me really unlocked a lot of the rhyme scheme, just being able to put energía at the end of lines and other like other Spanish words that wouldn't go at the end of lines. You can kind of do whatever you want. Thanks, Adam Sandler.
You know, verde is a really difficult word to rhyme. And Pablo Neruda has this poem and it goes like, verde que te quiero verde, verde viento, verde rama. And he just like rhymes verde with verde. Because it's just too hard to find words that verde rhymes with. It's like kind of like orange, you know? So you guys had a really difficult feat.
Wow, didn't even know.
And you found a really good workaround.
Wow, even the greats just be rhyming verde with itself. And the ultimate cheat.
Amazingly, the seventh episode in a row that Pablo Neruda has come up on. So it's just...
Look at
what
that.
A streak. What a streak. I hope we keep it going next week.
I'll say the toughest
one... Oh, wait,
one.
I'm so sorry, guys. It's Federico Garcia Lorca.
Oh, the streak is over.
He's another
the
Hall
Pablo
of Famer.
Neruda streak is over.
Sorry, I was like, this doesn't sound right. And I was like, wait, no. And I spiraled and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be on a podcast. And I've quoted the wrong poet and it's Federico Garcia Lorca. Please excuse me. Please retract the previous statement. But the message still stands. This
I'm getting
was
a call from Pablo Neruda's estate
to
right now. And he's suing you for defamation.
Oh my God. Well, wouldn't be the first time, you know? you know what I loved is another thing that I think was sort of another message and another level to all this is in the original Gasolina, you hear the car start. Mm-hmm. And the car doesn't speak because the car doesn't have autonomy.
The car doesn't have a voice.
A thing or a person with a perspective and a point of view. But here, this female electric car turns on. And she speaks. And that, in turn, speaks volumes. You know? She's letting herself be heard. The place where the gasoline nozzle, or in this case, the electrical plug goes into, is letting you know, that she's down, and she's there, and she's electrical, and she's okay with all of this.
That's exactly right.
So that's another level to all this, you know?
Yeah, giving voice to the voiceless.
Giving voice to the voiceless. Absolutely. I very much appreciated it.
I feel like we're just going to have to post the lyrics to our
You guys
Twitter
got you got carbon tax in there.
We got carbon tax. At some point in the song, we were issuing subpoenas for...
Subpoenas.
Yeah. Tu nube negra de emisiones es un crimen.
Your black cloud
your
of
black
emissions.
Your black cloud of emissions is a crime.
It's like, a crime.
You're being subpoenaed.
This went from being an anthem about how much you love gasoline to being basically full Aaron Brockovich. Good for you, Daddy Yankee. Go get it.
The album cover for this should just be a frog with five legs. I love that it started with Acuerdo París or the Paris Accord, because that just... got me in the mood. Okay. I know that this is a song that's going to cover some really intense topics.
Really sets
world.
The mood of like of where we're at and where you stand to just be hype about the Paris Accord.
Yeah, we wrote this a couple weeks ago, and now we're already on to the Glasgow Accords, and I got to rewrite it.
Oh, damn! Paris sounds so much nicer. It's fine. You can keep it.
Yeah, it does get you. It gets you in the mood to think about old white men holding the future of our planet in their hands and failing to take action.
You know, that if that isn't life, then what is it? You know, I don't know.
Well, Joanna, thank you so much for, talk about reggaeton hype men. I feel like you have been our official hype woman today. I've never felt so hype. After playing a punch for someone, the praise you're showering upon
so deeply
us
flattering.
Is just honestly going to warp my ego for at least a couple days. We appreciate you coming back on so much. And in just a moment, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about your walk-in music.
Oh my
gosh. Are you ready?
Can't wait. I'm so ready.
Okay.
Let's punch it.
Punch it!
Joanna, I just want to say that working through this song with you has been particularly amusing for me because I feel like it's the best version of you doing what you're already doing on your other podcast, which is as cultural translator. Joanna's a co-host of a wonderful podcast called Hyphenated that to me, it started out as being primarily about like your Latin identity and living in American, living in kind of like straddling multiple worlds, American mm-hmm. and Latina. But it just feels like it grew into like, well, we're going to talk about any type of cross-cultural identity. We're going to talk about anybody that's straddling two worlds. And yeah. It's an awesome podcast that's like the best version of both very funny and also really educational and heartwarming. I don't know.
We also have had a lot of musicians come on, like LP, and sort of talking about music is an interesting way of breaching some of these like identity topics, because songs are so cultural and ingrained in identity, but then it's so easy to be for songs to be influenced by other genres. So music has been such a wonderful way to tackle so many of these topics. And today I feel like we did it. I grabbed your little hands and brought you into my world a little bit, but
kicking
you guys also
screaming.
Brought me into your world of music.
Well, if there's ever a week that you're too busy to record your own podcast, we'll just send you this one. And you can just upload it into your feed. You know, just,
honestly, that's
just, if
great.
You want to take a little vacation break. You know?
Perfect. I need a vacation for my vacation.
So Joanna, we're going to close out with a little segment that Evan and I like to call walk-in music.
What is your walk-in in music?
And it's a segment where we and our guests talk about the perfect song to walk into. You could be a WWE heel jumping into the ring and hitting somebody over the head with a folding chair. But for me today, my walk-in song, imagine I've been found guilty of my crimes. I've been convicted. But it's that last day of the trial where you get to come in and like try to knock a couple years off your sentence by saying something.
You finally
really
decided
nice,
to wear a suit.
Really nice before the judge and be like, look, mm-hmm. I know I'm going to do time for this, but could you just knock off a couple years? Everybody's sitting there. There's a lot of press because of, you know, how cool my trial is, but not because of how bad my crimes were. And the door to the courtroom opens, and you just hear. You know, maybe there's a wind machine. I think my lawyer can get a wind machine. And then, like, then the judge is just vibing a little bit, you know?
Come on,
I'm on my way to the stand.
The best part is that literally every human on the planet knows what the song is. As soon as that opening lick comes in, everyone is thinking, I'm sorry. And I just literally, everyone in the courtroom would burst to their feet and just start screaming, he's sorry! He's really sorry for what he did!
And just a judge of any color would understand what I was trying to say once they hear the vibe. And the beat.
I love this.
The foreman of the jury leaps to his feet. Your Honor!
Yeah.
Permission to recant.
People are crying. They're like emotional.
Yes. The mother of the victim is crying. She's on your side.
So that's my walk-in song. That's this week's walk-in song. Me and Evan, we're just going to have one walk-in song ever. So now Evan is making me think of one every week, so I'm running out of ideas. That's why I'm repeating my song from earlier in the episode.
We did this on week one, and Andrew thought that was
I thought that was it. I thought I'd only have to do it once.
Recurring segment with the same song, different situations, same
different
song.
Different vibes, yeah. So Evan knows what your walk-in song is, Joanna, but I don't. So walk me through the vibe. Walk me through the situation. What's happening here?
Okay. Here's a situation. It's like, I don't have kids yet, but I have kids in this situation.
Okay.
I'm a busy mom,
okay,
right?
This is a good hypothetical, yeah.
I'm a busy mom. I'm never really around for PTA meetings, mm-hmm. but I'm a good mom, right? So
sure.
I finally make it to my first PTA meeting, and I know people are maybe whispering like, oh my God, we never see this mom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's a fun mom, but she's also no nonsense.
Yeah, she's no nonsense. And like, you know, and I am going to like take lead on the next bake sale. And I know I'm going to kill it. But I like, this is the song that plays as I like open the door to this underfunded school. And I'm just like, yes, bitches, I'm here. And I'm taking over your job. Well, actually, I probably won't do a good job at the bake sale, like real talk. But like, at least I'm there to show that I am not afraid of these people, of these parents that show up.
You're going to do a good enough job that your kid thinks you did a good job. That's
what it is. So this is the song that plays when I enter the room.
Ooh. Mm. Yes. Oh, that's
bitches,
a head turner.
Roll out. Let's raise some money for this school.
Yes. I can see the pencils are hitting the legal pads. They're all ready to take notes.
Yes.
On whatever directions you give them. Diane, brownies.
Yeah.
Cynthia, chocolate chip, and not from the can.
Yeah, this will properly intimidate the other moms, I think. That's my understanding of what you're looking for. So let me just put the other moms in their place a little bit.
Yes, and like the dads that think they're better than me already, also, I'm just like, sorry I'm bad at organizing, and I'm kind of a frazzled mom. But I'm here to take control, bitches.
There's something about, like, this song is so imperative that, like, not only does it establish you as the executive of this bake sale, like, blam, you're at top of the pyramid immediately, but also, then, as we're writing the movie scene of this hypothetical that you've laid out, the song then fades out, and then when everyone has received their instruction, like, montage through you just owning the PTA meeting, and then now you're on the same team and just ready to hit it as a squad. End scene, it slaps again.
Yes. And we're going to go and we're going to raise this money, you know?
Yeah. And you all leave together on the same page.
And you have to watch out, though, because the song goes so hard that it's like, by the end of the scene, you might be the principal of the school.
Which I don't want.
I know you don't want that. You're already a frazzled mom. Imagine how frazzled a principal you would be.
And you know what I love about this song? Is that this is for sure a song I would play my child, like as a baby. And like,
yes,
is it
it's safe.
Right? No. But is it my form of parenting? Yes. Mm-hmm. So as we talked about with Daddy Yankee, there's many levels to the reason I chose this song.
Yes. And if you do a TikTok of you playing this while you come out of your house pushing a stroller, that gets a million clicks from mom influencer content creators.
Roll out. You're rolling out your kid. You're rolling that kid.
Wow.
Oh, fuck.
Didn't
I miss
that.
Can we add that to my, like, I'm going to a PTA meeting for my older kid, and I'm rolling in with the stroller with a kid that is like in the middle of a tantrum.
Yes.
And I'm not even paying attention to it.
Yeah. But maybe the kid's probably like wearing sunglasses, and that's sort of like a visual pun on how cool you are. And then sure enough, it just, you burst in the door with the stroller. That's the extra visual pun you need.
That's the extra visual.
That's why you missed the last 4 months of PTA meeting. So chill out, other moms.
Yeah, like,
you know,
how
just
dare
had another
you judge?
Kid.
And then this is all feminist.
Yeah.
Because we said it was.
What's your walking song, Emma?
Oh, thanks for asking. This is just one of my faves, and I've actually seen it used as somebody's walking music, and I just wanted to co-opt it because it gave me such extreme positive feels. But this is after I've been away for my honeymoon. I just got married, and I'm coming back to the office where all of the Brads and Chads have been missing me in the next cubicle. And I come in for the Monday status meeting, and everybody's like, oh, we almost even forgot he worked here because he's been gone for 2 weeks.
This is the perfect song to be playing to the Brads and Chads who are next to you in the cubicle. Just the perfect, like, safe rap song.
It's a safe rap, but I also feel like what I see is people whispering to each other, like, who is that guy? As this song plays.
Yeah, we forgot about him.
As in, like, he was gone for so long they forgot who he is? Or, like, who's that guy who's so cool he's playing this song?
Oh, like, there's double meaning in that.
Yeah,
there's
let's invite him to our happy hour on Friday. That's very exclusive. It's not a work thing. It's a work friends thing.
It's a work
this song.
Thing.
This is Welcome Back by Mace, and it is just explicitly a walk-in song. So now I'm kind of feeling embarrassed that I picked it because it's like, oh, I'm kind of like phoning in the choice. But it has that meaning for me. Like, it just puts me in the feel so hard. But it is explicitly a walk-in song. It literally is like, I'm coming back. Everyone is welcoming me. I just walked in to my block again. That's what
I like
it
that.
Is literally
I like
about.
That. That song makes me happy.
Yeah. And in my work scenario, like, I'm wishing that, like, everybody just throws their pads of paper in the air and like we start a party. But I think Andrew's right that it's like, oh, I have my two coworkers that are actually welcoming me and everyone else is giving me the side eye.
It's like, please shut up. It's Monday morning and we're just trying to get to work, please.
Yes.
Right. Whoever's coolest at your office in their 20s is just despised by the people in their 40s because all the energy they're spending being cool is probably spent not doing Excel spreadsheets.
That's what, you know, when I worked at Flama, I worked at Univision on an open concept office with like a lot of, you know, 50-year-old men with spreadsheets in front of them. And then it was just like 14 people just being like, what if you make a little video about, like, I don't know, like how we eat beans. And they're just like fucking, or like they're counting beans and we're just like making dumb videos about beans. And they hated us. And I feel like this song that you chose, I wish I could play when we would like leave for lunch and come back and be disruptive. That's the song I wish I could play.
Wow.
Just like, you're the comedians working in an office environment, incessantly annoying people, and this would be a great song to just annoy them to the next level.
Incessantly annoying the people in charge of paying your salary. The people who are like in the spreadsheet being like, oh, God.
Well, they ended up getting so annoyed by us, they fired everyone. So, like, might as well have fun with it.
Yeah, that's what could happen. That's Watch out. If happen. You're the cool kid in the office, mm-hmm. the uncool kids mm-hmm. could just fire you.
Many, many thanks to our wonderful guest, Joanna Hausman. Please go subscribe to her podcast, Hyphenated, and do all of the podcast things to it. Subscribe it and follow it and rate it and review it and do that to ours as well. We need your gasoline, the fuel of your ratings and reviews.
And track us down on Twitter. I'm A. Rose Gregory. Evan is Get Some Evan. Let us know what songs we should be punching up and making irrefutably better.
Joanna, what's your Twitter handle?
It's Joanna Hausman. That's my Twitter handle.
I can't remember that.
Hausman is Hausmann. You're welcome.
Wow. Wow. You got the original Joanna Hausman.
Yeah, there's only one other one, and she's in Poland and just has a Facebook.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah, me neither. Actually, I did. Let's be real. Joanna Hausman. It sounds like a shtetl name. But here I am, a Venezuelan Joanna Hausman.
Mm-hmm. Anytime anyone says the word shtetl on this podcast, I say, we have to leave it there. We have to leave it at the shtetl. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week on the pod on Punch Up the Jam.
Let's punch it.
Punch up All right. the jam. Punch it up. While you beat your feet. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Punch it. Punch it. Punch it. Punch up the jam. Punch it up. Get the party going. The jam,
that was a HeadGum original.